right, is Proverbs chapter 7. Find that chapter in your Bible, Brother Anderson. Come on and sing for us tonight, brother, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Proverbs chapter 7, we'll have a handout for you when the song is finished. So, fellas, if you'll be ready to help us with that, that will be a blessing. Brother Gene, bless you, brother. God.
Which I've never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. I'm longing for you, and someday on the house stand, there my home shall be eternal. Eulalem, sweet Eulalem. I'm looking out just across the river to where my faith is gonna end inside. There's just a few more days to labor. Then I must take my heavenly flight. Eulalem, I'm longing for you, and someday on the stand, there my home shall be eternal. Eulalem, sweet Eulalem. Yes, it's Eulalem. Oh, it's Eulalem.
That's right. Amen. That's where it all ends. Amen. Yes, I remember talking to a Hindu man in Iowa City, Iowa, years and years ago. Of course, they believe in reincarnation. And, you know, if I do good in this life, I might come back as an angel in the next life. And if you're a plant in this life, you might come back as an animal. You upgrade. But if you don't do good in this life, you downgrade. So be careful with the ant you step on. You're stepping on somebody's uncle if you step on an ant. Does that make sense? Amen. But I said, what's at the end? He said, the midnight hour. And I said, well, do you have any hope? And he said, I have no idea. I'm glad my faith's not like that. Our faith will end in sight. Amen. Good song, Brother Gene. Thank you. Amen. Boy, the ushers are at it. I haven't even called for them, and you're getting your hand out tonight. Amen. Very good, fellas. Thank you. Appreciate all of you jumping in. Proverbs chapter 7, keep your hand up until you get the handout if you'd like one. Hope you brought a pencil or some type of writing instrument with you. And we'll carry on here in our Living Wisely Proverbs series. Anybody not get one? I see a couple of hands right there. Great. Thank you, Brian. Okay, time to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this many folks coming out on Wednesday night. Pray that you'll bless our time in your word. Thank you for all that we've enjoyed, and we're a little short, but that's okay, because it's been a good thing to be here already. Help me in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, several times in the Proverbs, Solomon makes references to the benefits of knowing and keeping God's commandments and God's laws. I said chapter 7, look back with me at chapter 6. We just finished what we're going to take out of chapter 6 last week. We really could do every verse in the book of Proverbs, but it would just take too long at the pace I'm going, okay? So we're just going to take chunks of chapters. But I want to show you verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That pretty much covers life, folks. Go, sleep, wake. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now that's interesting. I like all those verses right there. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Here you got a mom and a dad involved in teaching God's commandments and God's laws and helping the kids to know God's commandments and God's laws. And when you put God's commandments and God's laws to practice in your life, good things happen. And there it is in verse number 22. When you go, when you sleep, when you awake, just the benefits of God's law and God's commandments. And when we come to chapter 7, we get the same theme in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments. There it is, with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Did we just read something like that? In chapter 6, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Isn't that interesting? Both mentions of the strange woman or the evil woman in chapter 6, verse 20 through 24, and 7, 1 through 5, talk about the strange woman's flattery. Her words are subtle. Alright? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. In both of these passages, the benefits of God's laws and commandments that Solomon mentions is the protection that they provide from the strange woman. And we've talked about this, that not only does this apply on the female side, it applies on the male side as well. There are strange women out there who are hunting for the precious life, but just as real as that, you've got evil whoremongers who are seeking to take down pure young women. And so it works both ways. Knowing God's commandments and observing God's laws helps keep us morally pure. That's what it's saying right here. Now, chapter 7 is largely given over to practical teaching about how to avoid moral meltdown. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. This is what chapter 7 is given over to. How to avoid moral meltdown. So, number one on your sheet there, living wisely, principle number 18. Living wisely is learning how to avoid moral meltdown. Okay? Living wisely is learning how to avoid moral meltdown. I'm not going to rush through this. If I finish, I finish. If not, we'll come back and catch it next week, because I believe this is a very, very important lesson. Now, look with me, if you will, please, beginning at verse number 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So Solomon looks out the window of his house and he observes a young man. And there were two distinguishing characteristics about this young man. Number two on your list there, 2A, he was simple. He was simple. Now, the word doesn't have to do with mentally incapable of learning. It doesn't have to do with being mentally handicapped. It means not wise. That's on line A there. Not wise. It means silly. It means easily influenced. I'm sorry to put it this way, but basically, it's kind of characteristics that are normal to young people. To a lot of young people, okay? And folks, young people, listen carefully, all right? You don't have to be unwise in your youth. You hear all kinds of teaching and instruction and things in your classes, at home, from your parents, many of you, from the pulpit. If you'll just embrace them and engage the principles, you can be wise in your youth. Okay? You can be wise in your youth. But this man was not. He was simple. He was not wise, okay? Then, number two, or letter B, 2B, he was void of understanding. He was void of understanding. Now, isn't it interesting that Solomon could look at a group of young people and judge? Well, he must have been a fundamental Baptist. You Baptists, you're so judgmental. You just base everything on what you look at. Well, let's see here. Verse number six, he looked and he came to some conclusions. Folks, you gotta drop that junk. We make hundreds of judgments every day. And here, it's interesting to me that Solomon could look at a group of young people and discern or judge that one of them was not wise and was void of understanding. Now, don't call him mean-spirited. Okay? You got to put away that evangelical stuff. Now, you know what's interesting here, young people, listen very carefully. Your behavior, and this is number three on your list, your behavior speaks of either the presence or absence of wisdom. Your behavior speaks, and it speaks of either the presence or absence of wisdom. And I would highly recommend and highly suggest, as a young man or a young lady in church like this one, that you develop a hunger for wisdom and start embracing the principles of wisdom early. And I'm going to tell you one reason why. You know, you're not going to be 11 and 12 and 13 all of your life. You're going to be 17 and 18. And one of these days, you're going to need a job. And you're going to want to put some guy here in the church down as a reference for you. I get calls about that. Hey, can I use you for a reference? I don't mind being used for a reference. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest. And I'm not just going to write you up nice and pretty because I'm your pastor. If you don't show any presence of the principles of wisdom, your behavior speaks of either the presence or absence of wisdom. And there are adults watching. You call it judgmental, call it what you want to call it. But there are adults watching who come to conclusions and judgments about you by the presence or absence of wisdom that is manifested in your behavior. Does that make sense to you? Okay? So it's just you got to take it for what it is. This is exactly what Solomon did. He looked out the window of his house. I don't think he went there for the purpose of finding some kind of nincompoop. I don't think he did that. He went there for the purpose of just looking out his window. He saw a bunch of teenagers or young men, young women. And he discerned among the youths, plural, a group, this one boy right there. Look at him. I've watched him for the last little bit. And it is not hard to discern that young man lacks understanding. And he is void of wisdom. That's by his behavior. Y'all with me tonight? I know. Okay, that's by his behavior. So you want to be careful. Now, several of you have made promises to God to stay pure through your single years and to save your purity for your wedding day, your future spouse, and that's a great promise. And it should be revisited often. Don't just take the fact that you went to the altar in the sixth grade and said, I want to be pure till wedding day. You revisit that often through your teenage years and that decision. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is, I'm glad you've made the promise, but now you need a plan on how you're going to keep that promise. And here is a great text in chapter 7. We can learn from the mistakes of this young man and avoid them and keep your promise to God to get to the wedding altar clean and pure someday. Now, we're going to go through these again. If we get through them, fine. If we don't, we'll pick it up next week. Number 4A through letter G or letter H, we're going to go through 8 principles here that are just jumping off the page at us in this scripture. Number 4A, avoid places of temptation. Avoid places of temptation. Look at verse number 8. In verse number 7, he notices this young man. He has no wisdom. He's devoid of understanding. Now watch this. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. So one thing you want to do to keep your promise to be pure is to avoid places of temptation. In our day and age, malls, video arcades, I don't know if video arcades, were a big thing for a while, if they still are or not. Everybody has video games on their phone now. But it used to be video arcades, teenage hangouts, hanging out in cars, riding around with nothing to do, nowhere to go, just killing time with other teenagers, hanging out at a friend's house in the afternoon with no adults at home. These are a few places that wise teenagers avoid. They're places of temptation. Young people, you don't have to have your mom or dad to tell you not to go there. Discern for yourself. Look at it And if it's and by the way, this doesn't just apply to teenagers. This applies to adults too, fellas. Don't get yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted. Avoid places of temptation. Avoid places of temptation. Safe places are at home with other family members present. Chaperoned activities with outings with lots of adult supervision and youth activities at church and so forth. Those are safe places. How many young people have unwisely gone to an unsafe place of temptation? One of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life. I've said this so many times to you. I wish I could tape record just about every counseling session or working with people that have gone through tragic experiences. I wish I could tape record it for you and play it back, because I really believe it would change your attitude. I really do. But now we're dating. We're going way back, years and years back from here at Faith Baptist, but back a long, long time. And a Saturday night call from a family who had a young person that used to go to church here. And I was called out. I actually had to drive about an hour and a half to get to the place where, out west, where I was going to meet with the young woman and the young man and the parents of both. And I won't say which is which in our church and everything. And I went to the place. I actually went to a motel conference room. And another pastor met me there. And one of those young people had gotten off work and gone to the house late at night of another co-worker, and bad things happened. Well, when you go to the house of a co-worker at 11:30 at night, probably not going to have popcorn. And I just remember the heartache, the tears, and it was the biggest mess, because the young people were interested in getting married with each other, but the one young person that had violated the relationship had violated it with a co-worker. And they got all the four parents there, and they're trying to work through all of this, and what do we do? And I just remember the young person saying, while I was at the house, I just remember thinking how I wished my dad or my pastor could walk through this door right now and get me out of here. It wasn't said like I just said it to you. It was said amongst sobs. Stay out of places of temptation. Stay out of places of temptation. If it's a place that's not well lit, if it's a place that's not well chaperoned, if it's a place that's not well organized, if it's a place that's not well attended, get out, don't go. Just stay out of places. Well, they'll think I'm a prude. Now, your future spouse won't think you're a prude. Your future spouse will appreciate it. You need to avoid the way to the place of temptation. And in this day and age, I have to say, that includes the Internet. Don't go to places of temptation on the Internet. Number two, letter B. 4B here is verse number 9. Look at it, verse number 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. So, not only avoid places of temptation, letter B, avoid times of temptation. Times of temptation. He went by her house. He went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Young people out at those times can get in trouble in a real hurry. There is a reason why more crimes are committed at night than during the day. There's more trouble and more sin, to get into at nighttime than in broad daylight. So you got to stay out of times of temptation. Not just places, but times of temptation. I don't see any reason why, young children, I'm talking about teenagers as well, should be allowed to set their own bedtimes. They should not be allowed to stay up to the time of their choosing. Late night television, late night internet surfing should be off limits. There is a time to avoid things of temptation. So avoid places of temptation and avoid times of temptation, young people. We're talking about avoiding moral meltdown. How are you going to keep your promise? Oh God, I promise you that I want to walk down the wedding aisle or see my wife walk down the wedding aisle. I want to be clean and pure on wedding day. How are you going to keep your promise? I like the promise, but you got to have a plan. Letter C, avoid those who dress immodestly. Look at verse number 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So you got to avoid those who dress immodestly. Dress speaks. Dress has a language. And there is a manner of dress that says, I'm available. Avoid that kind of dress. And parents, teach your kids what that dress is and teach them not to dress in that manner and teach them not to make best friends with those who dress in that manner, because dress speaks. She had the attire of an harlot. That's how he knew she was a harlot. She was wearing the uniform. So you got to avoid those who dress immodestly. Now, the truth is, young people, if you want to dress in the manner that says I'm available, there's more wrong with you than your dress. Now, I want you to notice that this woman was subtle of heart. Now, isn't this interesting that dress and heart are mentioned in the same verse? Well, oh, what I wear doesn't say anything about my heart. I beg to differ. God says differently. God says, your dress is a direct reflection of your heart. Boy, we're kind of tearing up the evangelical line tonight, aren't we? Dude, you can't be so judgmental, man. Well, Solomon looked out the window of his house and made some judgments. And it's pretty obvious here in verse number 10, that you got the attire and the heart in the same verse. Do you see where the real problem is? There was something bad wrong with her heart, but it was reflected in her dress. That's what it was reflected in. And people, our dress is a reflection of what's in our heart. I don't know how clear the Bible is. I just don't understand. And let me go through this again. Modesty avoids excessively revealing the shape or form of your body. And that's if you're a female or a male. Now the trend is for you, these guys, to wear these skinny pants. And I want to shoot it before it ever gets introduced here. I do not understand why you would want to trend after the Sodomites. I don't understand that. I don't understand any of it. You can't judge my dress. I'm just using the Bible. The Bible uses dress and the heart in the same verse. Your dress is a reflection of your heart. And if your heart is trending after that kind of worldly fashion, it's not just a skinny pants issue or skinny tights or whatever on women. It is a heart issue that is reflected in the dress. And I'm not afraid to say that at all. Modesty is properly covering your body from your shoulders to your knees. Modesty is not wearing clothes, as I said, that are too tight. And if this is too cumbersome for you to observe, I guess my question is why? Why? Either a person has never been taught, or there is a problem with the heart. And for the most part, here you've been taught. You've not just been yelled at, you've been taught. And parents need to step up to the plate. Your kids do not have to decide what they wear. You're their parent. And parents are given to children until the kids can get to the age where they don't need the parent. So be the parent. Step up to the plate. I was down in at camp last week. Told you down in Triple S, Brother John Bishop and those fellows, Luke and David. And after the Tuesday night service, the pastor came up and from Southern Illinois. We were talking together. And he is a great guy. He's got a great church and a missions-minded church. And I was talking with him there. And so we got to talking about things. I forget exactly how it came up, but I had addressed the issue in the service on Tuesday night. I told the 280 whatever teenagers it was there that there never has been a day where Christian young people need to embrace distinction in dress like today. It never has been a day where we need to embrace this. And so I had mentioned that, and he said, well, I appreciate your... And I was very honest with him. And he said, I appreciate your spirit. He said, you know, he said I had a couple in our church. They pulled their teenage boy out of our school, sent him over to an evangelical school across town. and said, we only have school Monday through Thursday. We don't have school on Fridays, and we have longer school days, and it didn't work with mom and dad's work schedule, so they pulled the boy out and sent him over to an evangelical school. And, you know, he said, I said, look, we don't want it to be a problem, but it's going to become a problem because of what your son's going to be taught over there. Don't use the King James and all this stuff. So anyway, he's just telling me all this. I'm just listening to him. And he said, then a new couple in our church had their kindergarten kid or first grade kid in the same school. And he said, they invited me to come over to this little program. He said, personally, I didn't want to go. But he said, my wife said, honey, they're a new couple in the church. You need to go. And he said, so I went. And he said, you know, I got there and here are these 23 and 24-year-old single teachers in these tight, whatever these women are wearing nowadays. Leotards? I don't know what the word is. I don't know what they are. But you see them everywhere. They're not sweatpants. They're tight. I mean, they're just, there's nothing left of the imagination. And they're walking around in front of the groups and the kids. He said, I got so frustrated. I went back to the church. I said, I called that man in who put his teenage son over there. He said, I rarely call guys in because usually unsought advice is seldom followed, usually resented. He said, but I want to tell you, brother. He said, if you think your teenage son is sitting there while that woman's stretching her body up, writing on the board in those tight clothes, thinking about math, you're nuts. I said, what did he say? He just looked at me. But that pastor's trying to be truthful with him. Now, you know what, moms, you never had the mind of a man. And moms make a big mistake with, oh, that son's not like that. You don't know the mind of a man. I'm not mad at you, but quit calling the shots. Because you don't think like a man. It doesn't bother you, but it bothers a red-blooded man or boy. They're not sitting there thinking about Christopher Columbus. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be, inappropriate. But I'm frustrated. He's frustrated. A lot of us are frustrated because we're trying to give truth out in the right spirit. If there's ever a day it's needed, it's now. We're called legalists. We're called nuts. We're called crazy. But we're trying to be truthful enough to the Word of God to help people, and then parents work against you. It just, I said, brother, more power to you, man. I said, I got you. He was frustrated. Just frustrated. I could feel it. I could sense it in him. And I understand it. So mom, hopefully dad, you take the lead, and mom, let him lead, and when he starts talking about what's not good for a boy, listen to him. Okay? Because you don't have the mind of a man. Don't be afraid of your kids in this area. Don't be afraid of them. The reason kids have parents is because they need parenting until they can parent themselves. So do the take the lead. I'm glad we got a lot of young couples. There was a ton of babies in the nursery on Sunday. That's wonderful. And some of you that have been here for years and your kids are all gone, man, I got to listen to this again. Well, we got a lot of young couples with a lot of kids to rear. Are you with me? And some of you, the older ones, are just going to have to nod your head and let Pastor have his say. It's not just my say. It's trying to protect young people to stay distinct and modest in a world that has lost both. If you don't see what's happened out of Orlando, this has done nothing but promote the LGBT agenda. That's all it's done. And all we got in our leadership is people that can talk about guns. Nobody talks about the Muslims. Just, I could gnaw this pulpit with it. But anyway, avoid those who dress immodestly. Yeah, but man, I like it. That's the problem. Your flesh, like, guess what? You're normal. The guy who's not bothered by it, he's not normal. I told Brother Mick there's an interesting verse in Matthew chapter 19? 16, 17. There's only 28 chapters, so forgive your pick. But it talks about eunuchs. Some men were made eunuchs of men. That's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were made eunuchs. I'm not going to go much further than that. They're made eunuchs. Eunuchs can't reproduce. Some were made eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. That's Paul. Some were eunuchs from birth. It's an interesting statement. I haven't wrapped my mind around that yet. What it says. And then it says, he that's able to hear, let him hear. If you're able to receive it, take it in. I'm not sure what's all that talking about, but I'm telling you, that's pretty interesting. I'm just simply saying a normal red-blooded boy, it doesn't have to be 20, a normal red-blooded boy beginning at age 12 or 13 is not going to watch that in a schoolroom day after day after day and have Sunday school thoughts. Well, maybe that's a good place to stop tonight. Amen. Avoid those who dress immodestly. Avoid those who dress. And don't dress immodestly yourself. Please, fellas. My goodness. Skinny pants? We're not interested. We're not interested in that. I'm not interested in that at all. And ladies, get your clothes loose and get them from the shoulders. And don't just go to the top of the knee and stop there. Cover up. So that when you sit in church, your 2 inches of your thigh is not exposed. It's just another inch or two of material. I can't buy them. There's a lot of ladies around here that sew. What's your modesty worth to you? Man. It's going to take some real commitment in the years to come. You mark my word. It's going to take some real... Because we got churches that aren't committed to it anymore. Baptist churches. Not even committed to it. Not a bit. But as long as the good Lord leaves me right here, we're going to be committed to it. Okay? Because what have I got to lose? I'm already a nut. I'm already a legalist. So, you know, we just might as well, why change now? We just dress modestly so that you don't turn anybody, you don't have to wear a potato sack. But just dress modestly. Let's stand together. Okay, enough. We didn't get very far, but we're having a good time. Aren't we? Yeah, right. I'm glad this is over. I'm not thinking that. You're thinking that. We might redo point number 4 next week for me. Let me review that last thing. Okay. Father, seriously, we want our lives to glorify and honor You. Lord, You must increase, we must decrease. That's what we need. It's not about us. It's about You. Our clothes are a reflection of what's in our heart. I don't know how anybody can deny that. So help us, Lord, please. Not to be prudish. Lord, we're not looking to be prudish. We just want to be holy, right, godly. Not looking down our nose, but Lord, taking our position and just smiling and saying, this is what we're going to do. Bless our young people. Avoid places of temptation and times of temptation and those who dress immodestly. Help us to be wise, not silly. And not void of understanding. Bless our youth. Bless our adults. Help us, I pray. Help parents. Lord, parenting is such a huge job. Help the parents. Give them the spine, the backbone they need to parent their children. Help them not to be swayed by the whining and the tears. Help them to take their stand lovingly, teachingly. Please, I pray that for our church. Please, God. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Just a quick...